Here late night, baby.
Late night. Yeah. 8 o'clock. Back to the old shit. You know?
I know.
What do you think of my hat?
I love it. I think it's a vibe.
You think I look good today? I feel pretty good.
So.
I bet the chat likes it.
I'm sure the
They're
chat
gonna
likes
be like, oh my god. You know what? This hat actually is a Discord hat. Look.
Wow.
See? Yeah.
Man, see.
Oh, yeah. Discord. Sending me the swag.
That's pretty lit. Like,
hella lit.
I like the subtle too. Like, black on black is always a cool vibe. I don't know why. It's mysterious.
Oh, yeah. Black on black, but then the purple undertone.
Oh,
I
yeah.
like that. Yes. It's very
it's good.
Good. It's
I'm
very
here
good.
For it.
Here's the first comment.
No comment.
The first comment is no comment. I like this.
Beautiful.
Yes.
This is the right kind of energy we need for a late night show.
I think so. I got something here called monogamy.
Ooh,
this was.
I think I've had that before.
This was. It's
Maybe,
from Bellwoods. It's from Bellwoods in Toronto. It's possible you've had it if you were up in Toronto ever.
I don't know.
It's got Harlo hops. It's an IPA. Yeah, it's brewed exclusively with these hops, and it's got two badass owls on them. So
who doesn't like owls?
Like they're sick. They're a sick animal.
I've just got my water sick. Tonight, keeping it calm.
It's good. It's good. It's yeah. You know, it's middle of the week. We got to get through it, you know?
Exactly.
I know Mike has been known to have a wobbly pop or two on the weekends.
Once in a while. Once in a while.
Yeah. That's right. I am wearing my party shirt. Thank you very much.
Party shirt. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. No, you know, late night. You gotta get a little weird, I think.
I am rocking a hoodie today. This is my Within Destruction hoodie.
Mmm. Within Destruction.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
Plus, I like the color. I like these like pastels that are starting to make a return in the scene.
Yeah.
I think it's a good vibe.
Well, you know, I think anytime a band, especially like a heavier band, makes a shirt that isn't black.
Yeah.
That's always nice too.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we're hanging. We're talking about the new tunes of the week. And it's a big, big week. Massive, massive, massive week. And Mike has curated a very special list of the top five records of the week, and it was hard to pick just five. I know
it was. I had a little bit of trouble,
so we'll have some honorable mentions at the end we'll discuss as well. We're gonna get into it, kick it off right away with
dive on in
with the top five releases.
Do we want to start with the top five, or have we decided a show name yet?
Well, that's true. Oh yeah, there's tons of business to get to before we actually kick this thing off. What am I talking about? Show name? I don't know. I'm still like I'm still loving that Fresh Jams theme song because it just that bass line. It's sexy, you know.
Yeah,
but I don't know. New Noise was working.
New Noise has been the one that's sticking with me.
I know.
Just because, like, sometimes my picks might not be for you. They might be Noise. But
it
it's new.
Be.
That's for sure.
It's new. It's Noise.
I like it. It's
new Noise.
N squared.
New Noise, same boys. That was I believe, the tagline I did. Which I like that because we did change the name. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I got a bit of an emo eye patch going on right here, right now. So this is working.
You do. You're rocking it, though. It looks good.
For people wandering in, if they think I'm being serious right now, I'm you're sadly mistaken. But I think I am probably going to take the beard off.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like the yearly beard shave is a good thing. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll shave it off live on Twitch.
I'm growing mine back out.
I know. I've been noticing. It's getting a little bigger and bigger. I was kind of bummed it was, you know, you took it down so far because it was
I know.
It was epic.
Once in a while you need a life change though, and I think it's time to bring him back.
Yeah.
Gain my wizardliness
again. I know. Mike is a wizard. Everyone knows this. So we're going to go back, I guess, to last week's top five. Yeah. Which of the records jumped out at you that you selected?
All right. So we got to talk about number one, right? The Normandy record.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that I thought was going to be kind of the big hitter for everybody. And honestly, I really like it, but I feel very whelmed.
Right. So not underwhelmed or overwhelmed, like right down the middle whelmed.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of exactly what I expected based off the singles. And like, I know we were talking a little bit earlier and you mentioned like every single song sounds the exact same. And like, that's kind of the vibe I got. Like, they're fun songs, but aside from the singles, I didn't really get much.
Yeah, for sure. So. I really like the band. I really like the record.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they shouted us out on Instagram too, by the way, Mike. So we're getting famous in the Normandy fan world here. I really do like the band. I think I don't want to say that the release was too safe because I don't think it necessarily was. But I did feel like a lot of the songs were a little bit formulaic. But I think it's okay. I think that they're finding their sound. Mm-hmm. You know, it is hard to say like, oh, this band sounds exactly like this. Like they have their own thing going on. And I really appreciated the record. And I think it's a definitely a worthy selection at number one.
Oh, yeah. Nothing bad to the Normandy guys. Like, I really like the record. It's just other records surprised me a bit. And I think that there was some better stuff that came out this last week. Like that new Nothing Nowhere album. I thought I was just going to be like, all right, we've heard a lot of singles off this. It's going to be, once you put it all together, oh my God, that record slaps.
Yeah.
Something disgusting.
Oh yeah.
I've listened to it like three or four times. It's just been on repeat. It's banger after banger.
So yeah, we talked about Nothing Nowhere last week and some people that have a say in things in the Twitch community actually have made it happen, and Nothing Nowhere is going to come on the podcast.
Oh, awesome.
So I think it's going to be, I think the date is March 16th. You know, I'm doing these Tuesday, 3 o'clock. So Nothing Nowhere is coming on to discuss all the things. And that's really cool. So, you know, I think I was talking him up big time last week and you were downplaying it a little bit. And here we are. Mike has his foot in his mouth a little bit.
Always.
Not putting it at number one, saying, well, you know, maybe he's not the biggest in the emo rap world. And I'm like, well, maybe not the biggest, but maybe the most legit. And this record solidifying it even more.
Like, I like this record more than I like that MGK record. Like comparing the kind of like emo rap bringing in pop punk tinges and stuff like that. And
I think that too.
It blended the styles a lot more and didn't feel kind of as copy paste from like old pop punk, I guess.
Oh, for sure. No, it's way more creative, I would say, and a little bit more of a like authentic, like realness in terms of the emotion, like not just talking about what you're talking about to get a rise out of people or get a reaction or like be a fucking cool guy like I'm being with this hat, you know, like there's something deeper to this album.
Exactly.
And I mean, it should have been our number one probably, but because I think at the end of the year when we're talking records, this record's probably showing up.
And I felt like the musical understanding throughout like the record and just the songwriting was way better. Every song kind of felt like it was what it was. Whereas like some of the songs on the MGK record, I almost thought like this kind of would have been better if he just like left it like a hip hop song or something like this, or if he went harder into pop punk. And,
right.
Like Nothing Nowhere, every song just like felt exactly how a song that is saying what it's saying should feel, I guess.
Yeah. I right in the wheelhouse.
Songwriting is just great.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Anything else you listen to over the week?
That new Skywalker album, I'm absolutely in love with it. It reminds me so much of old In Heart's Wake and new Amity Affliction merging together. And it's just absolutely beautiful. I've had that on repeat as well. Spun it three or four times. It's super catchy. I wouldn't say the best lyricism I've heard this week because obviously Nothing Nowhere. But like is just a really solid debut metalcore record. And I think if you like modern metalcore and you're looking for a new band, that Skywalker album is really going to surprise you.
Absolutely.
Plus, it's got cool album artwork and a cool album name.
That's what Mike mostly cares about. So speaking of lyricism and or lack thereof, did you get a chance to take up 2 minutes and 34 seconds of your time and listen to the new Green Day single?
I haven't yet. I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, do it. So it's funny. Right. Yesterday, I listened to it for the first time yesterday, live on Twitch.
I'm gonna wait, and we'll do this during our ad break, unless we're doing a...
Okay, yeah. Let's do that. We'll do it for sure. That's a great idea. And yeah, if you're subscribed to the channel, you will get to see this. So subscribe, please. Throw us a bone. It would help. And yeah, we'll do that later on. What was I going to say? Well, I guess now we do the top five?
Yeah, let's do the top five.
Now we do the top five. All right. Top five records coming out this week. These are all out on Friday. Wherever you get your music, support it. Here is Mike's top five, starting with number five.
So number five, we actually have an EP this week. I'm very excited about this EP because I like this band a lot. I think they're a little underground, if not a lot underground.
Yeah.
But coming out of the East Coast, I think is where they're from. I didn't look it up. I'm going to be honest. My notes are crap.
It's all good. It's all good.
But with the new EP Speak Less, we've got Pulses.
Yeah, it's Pulses at number five. Yeah, probably a band people aren't too familiar with.
Yeah. I think this band's really similar to bands like Hail the Sun and kind of like Swancore bands. I think they're a little bit heavier on this release than they normally are. So this EP, it's 18 minutes and 12 songs. I want to say, like, shout out to the boys for hooking me up with this EP too. I kind of broke the rules and I've listened to it before the show.
No, it's, that's okay. I in fact, one of the albums on this list I have also already heard. So
yeah, I know you have.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a minute.
But I think this EP is absolutely incredible. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to say there's probably like four or five solid bangers on here that are like anywhere from a minute and a half to like 2 or 3 minutes. And it's just good, fun, Swancore. It doesn't stick to kind of any of the norms of the genre either. Like, there's one song that's super short and kind of grindy, and there's one song that's a little bit slower, and I don't know. All the interludes are really well done. It feels like it kind of jumps around a lot, kind of like short songsy, but
yeah,
I really like the release, and I think it's an awesome release for what they're kind of doing, because obviously everybody's been shut down during quarantine and they're saying, hey, this EP is like a 2.5. It's not release three, but it's like right in the middle of our albums.
Yeah, no, 100%. And yeah, you bring up short songs, which is a Silverstein album that we put out in 2012. It was a weird time in our career, but we put out a 22-song, 18-minute album. That's right, you heard that right. 22 songs in 18 minutes, half originals, half covers. And I've heard a little birdie told me that maybe that influenced this album a little bit.
Yeah, so I was actually talking to Matt. I forget what he does in the band. I think he's the guitar player. But he said a lot of the influences to do this record came from short songs. And I think he said Kanye West when he was releasing some shorter albums and things like that. And honestly, I think it's a really cool concept. And a lot of bands kind of, they're looking for the radio hit and things like that. And like that's always like 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't need to drag out what you're saying for 3 and 4 minutes, and it can be done in a minute song very, very well. And I think these guys nailed it on the head with what they did.
Yeah, no, especially when you're talking about like some of the super technical stuff, you know, like part of why I've always been a huge fan of the grindcore genre
100% agree.
Is because I like love the idea of the short song. I love the smaller canvas, if you will, you know, and like probably the first band I heard that did that really well was The Locust.
Okay.
If you ever listened to The Locust,
I have not.
Super grind. Oh, you should, Mike. Super. They paved the way for so many bands. But like when you have that, you know, after about a minute and a half, okay, I'm ready for something else, right? Like it's just this attack. And in the same vein, you know, when you call it like Swancore, when you're talking about like super technical, like a lot going on, a lot of drum hits in a short amount of time, a lot of riffing, I'm like okay with like, all right, here's a minute and a half. All right, let's go. What's next? Yeah. You know, I'm okay with that too. And, you know, you can repeat parts sometimes, but does every song need to hear, to have a chorus repeated three times? Every song? Yeah. No.
No.
So I'm all for it.
Yeah, and
I am loving it.
I'm a big fan of obviously sometimes a riff is so damn nasty that you just want to hear it over and over again for the entire song.
Sure.
But sometimes you've got a riff that's like really good, but it only works really well once. And shorter song length is perfect for when you write something like that.
Yeah. 100%. There's no question. So this is great. I love this release. Matt Burridge, member of the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club too. And you know, and also like had members of the band on the show on the stream. I mean, a few weeks back when I highlighted some local artists too. Really cool. So I'm glad that they're putting this record out. Everybody should check out our number 5 Pulses.
Oh yeah, we should do that again. Local stream, both of us this time.
I would love to have you on mic too to get a feel. Let's plan that out.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Yeah, let's plan it. Let's do it.
Play a song live or something like that. Yeah, get some live feedback.
100%. Let's do it.
I'm down
anytime. Let's do it, and we'll do it late night too because it gets
late night.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Moving on. Number 4.
So number 4. This is the weird release. This is the release that I have no idea what it's going to sound like.
Yes. Love
it. It has been described to me as cottagecore.
Okay.
Now, you might be asking yourself, who on earth is weird enough to come up with a genre called cottagecore? And this is a one-man project, and he is a favorite of this show. It is Mr. Johnny Frank.
Yes.
Known for Attack, Bill Murray.
Yes.
So I don't care what this is. Anything this man touches is absolute gold. It's going to be incredible.
Okay.
And I don't care. I think it's going to be weird. It's going to be great. I think this is more kind of like atmospheric electronic side project. So I don't think we should be expecting kind of the heavy distorted guitars and things like that. And I don't think there's going to be any weird macho man coming in.
And maybe no like pop choruses?
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
or maybe
knows?
Pop chorus? Who knows?
But I really don't know.
But the artist, this artist is called, let's throw it up on the screen so people know.
Yeah, Chair. Chayr.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
I'm sorry.
I know you were getting there, but you just like, something was just pulling you down this road of excitement.
Yeah,
I mean, contain.
I'm just always excited whenever Johnny Frank does something because this man doesn't have a bone in his body that allows him to write a bad song.
I don't think so either. I don't know what this is. I hadn't even heard about it until I think you brought this up to me maybe off the record like a couple weeks back.
Yeah, I think so.
And I kind of forgot all about it until right now. And yeah, who knows what this is? I don't know where Johnny finds the time and
I don't
inspiration, because what he's putting out, like 2 or 3 Bill Murray, you know, like he calls them EPs, but they're like 7 songs, you know.
And so they're all so intricate.
Yeah, he's putting out like an album and a half to 2 albums worth of material just in that project, not to mention the other stuff that he's writing for other people or producing for other people. And now here's this.
Yeah, and all the features that he does, because he's starting to get all these features on albums too. Like he featured on Dance Gavin Dance. I forget what else he featured on, but like,
oh, what a song!
He's
getting
crazy with it, and I'm just so excited. This man can't be touched right now.
No, he can't. And we'll see what this is. Not even up. Like this artist isn't even up on Spotify yet. Right? Like, I don't even see this here.
I mean, I saw something. I don't know if it's like an old release that he did under the name or something like that. Cause, like, the picture for it has like an old, or they have an old album, but the picture is like the new album art.
Oh.
This is also dropping tonight at midnight on Wednesday if you're listening on Twitch.
Okay,
so
cool.
So you can check this out tonight or tomorrow.
So this might actually be out in like Australia or whatever, or Europe.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah. So maybe people already are hitting it up. That's cool. All right. Well, that's a weird one, and I love it. Let's move on.
We'll 100% talk about this next week.
Yeah. Cannot wait to talk about it. Nah, we're moving on to number 3 now.
So number 3, probably my absolute favorite Good Vibes band. Maybe solo project now. I'm not 100% sure. But this is a little, and I say little meaning little right now because they're very underground, band called Jetty Bones, who is about to absolutely pop off. They've put out 2 singles, That's All and Nothing. They are absolute bangers. They're like just on the fringe of pop punk, where I can still call it pop punk, but it's very in the realm of like water parks, I would say, where it's more kind of EDM centric and pop centric. It is absolutely awesome though. Kelsey is a phenomenal person, just one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life, and always good vibes, super positive record, and I just can't wait for this. It's an awesome record.
Yeah, no. It is an interesting project, and I think, you know, I guess there was an EP before these singles. So, it's kind of like, you know, it's still very underground. Actually, a couple EPs now that I'm looking it up. And yeah, it is, you know, when you look at the pictures of Jetty Bones, it's one person, one female, who it looks like her name is Kelsey Galuzzo. Yep. And it says that basically it's technically a solo project with a full band mentality. This project is anything but the efforts of one person. So that's what it is. So I think that's cool. I mean, when you talk about something like we just talked about Bill Murray and Johnny Frank, that's a solo project too. And there is something to be said for, you know, that like, okay, I'm going all in and this is my thing.
Yeah.
I'm putting all my, you know, all my marbles into this one and here we go. And sometimes some incredible music can come out of that.
100%, because I think there's dangers with it, because while you can get very focused and make something very good, you can also become so focused that you're in an echo chamber and you make something that is very not good. I've seen it go both ways.
Of course. Yes, absolutely. There's no question that can happen, but in this case, it's working.
And new album's called Taking Up Space, by the way.
Taking Up Space. Do you like that title?
I do like that album title because like the band is all, well, the band, Kelsey is always about like promoting positivity and taking a solid look at mental health and like making sure that you just keep your spirits up and talk about kind of things that you need to get off your chest. And I think that a lot of people who, myself included, sometimes you just feel like you're taking up space and not really contributing anything positively. And I think this record kind of it's going to take a great look at not only Kelsey taking a look at herself, but giving an opportunity for you to look inside yourself and like, you're kind of worth it.
Yeah, 100%, Mike. I love it.
We're positive.
I love it. I love positivity. All right, well, moving into number two.
Number two. So no effects. Shane already popped it up on the screen. A little too early. I get no intro here.
Okay, wait. There we go. Okay.
There we go. All right, so number two, with their new album, single album, we've got No Effects.
We got No Effects.
I'm going to be honest, I'm a new No Effects fan. I've been getting really into them with these new singles. Ever since Warped 25, I've been kind of piecing through and checking out hit songs and adding them to playlists and having fun with them and stuff like that, but I've never taken a deep dive. So this is going to be like my first full No Effects album listen.
Very interesting. And I know, Mike, I know punk rock has been, you know, hasn't been your long suit, and we're trying to change that. They sent me this album. So I listened to it today. Yep. They sent it to me this morning. I listened to it today. This, to me, it's a very different No Effects album.
Yeah.
And at this point, though, I kind of expected it. I didn't expect them to try to go dig deep into their past and you know, put out Punk and Drublick Part 2 or whatever. That ship has sailed. I'm okay with that. I appreciate it, though, that they're not trying to do like what Blink-182 is doing, where they have like, okay, we're going to bring in a bunch of songwriters and we're going to try to make these kind of like pop hits or whatever. We're trying to like stay relevant with a younger crowd. No Effects, they just pretty much don't care. And this song, this album, very autobiographical of Fat Mike and his, you know, what he's been through over the last, you know, I don't know what it's been since they put out another record, like, probably close to 5 years.
I forget the single, but he talks in like one of the singles during like a bridge about how his daughter read his book.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. Yep. No,
now she
absolutely
knows that he drinks pee and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're always going to get the humor with No Effects. You're always going to get those clever lyrics. And you're always going to hear something on a No Effects record that you pretty much haven't heard an artist do before, because Fat Mike has this sort of like, I don't know, it's almost like punk rock musical autism where he doesn't see things like the same way other people do. So it can result in some interesting stuff. But so this record, it took me aback, right? So I got it. I like was like, oh shit, I don't have to wait till Friday. This is like my favorite band ever. So I instantly, you know, threw it on my big stereo, put on track number one, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait, five minutes and 48 seconds, the first track, okay. And it was not what I expected. Like, it is kind of slower. Like, someone described it as a post-hardcore song, which I don't know about that, but definitely different. And then, you know, as the record goes on, you hear bits and pieces of the NoFX you expect. Definitely some other very interesting things in the record. I mean, they've released a bunch of the songs four or five of the songs I've heard already, you know, over the last couple of years. But overall, this record is, I don't know.
When was their last full album, by the way?
When was their last full album?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I feel like it's been a while. Well, I think
depends what we look at it as full album, because they had the Frank Turner split in 2020.
Yeah, it doesn't
count. We talked about that.
That doesn't count.
And then they had a live album in 2018. So it looks like First Ditch Effort in 2016.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's it. So 2016. That record was, I think that record was good. There's some good songs on it for sure. I think the record before Self-Entitled was, and that's a great, by the way, great album title, Self-Entitled. Yeah. That's a good one too. And then, you know, you go back, Coaster was a good record too. And like, once you, I mean, they don't put albums out all that often either, which is why this is exciting. So, yeah, we're talking about 5 years, but I lost my train of thought. I had something else to say about this thing. Fuck, where'd it go? It's gone. It's gone forever. It's not coming back.
It happens.
That was a good point too. The ones you lose are always the best.
When you were talking, I had a point. What's the movie where the guy, like, there's this unsolvable math problem and the like janitor guy is like looking at it and like,
oh, Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, Good Will Hunting. And I just had the like image of like, it just said punk rock and Fat Mike is like looking at this chalkboard and he figures it out when nobody else can.
That's not that far off. Yes. Yes. someone has to make a meme of that. That's funny. I didn't even mean to click that. Me every day. It was literally a slip of the finger. But I was gonna say, and this is obviously important, the album title is called Single Album. And I had Fat Mike actually on the podcast just a couple months back, when the Frank Turner record dropped, the split, and he was talking about this and how originally it was gonna be a double record. So he wrote you know, the songs for a double record, which when you write for a double record, I imagine it's different, right? Because you kind of need to go out there a little bit more, and some things you can kind of meander a little more to try to make it a little bit more interesting over.
We've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. And he played the record for Matt from Avenged Sevenfold, who they're good friends. Okay. And Matt's like, you know what? This record is really good, but it would be awesome if it was just a single record. So that's why it's called Single Record. That's the story behind it. Cut down. So I would be really interested to see if, you know, over the next couple months, if they do that
B-sides
thing bands are doing now. Where, yeah, they're not even B-sides. They're almost just like post-release songs where it's like, okay, maybe we don't want this to be a single before the album or on the album, but maybe it breathes kind of new life into the project after. Like,
I love that too, because like one of my favorite bands right now, Bad Omens, they did that and they put out a better song on the deluxe edition than any of the other songs on the album. And like that album was in my top 10 of the year. And I'm like, why wasn't this song on the album? It could have made it like top two. Like,
I know. It's totally like a new move that everybody's doing. And
I'm cool with it. Like, keep the material pumping.
Yeah. Chat's excited for NoFX too. And yeah, I mean, I just like, with NoFX, like I said, Mike doesn't care, man. He's made his money. He's, you know, he's proven that he can, they can be at the top of the game in punk rock and write the catchy pop punk songs and do all that. And now it's like, okay, what do I need to say? What do I need to get off my chest? And, you know, it's sometimes it can be a difficult listen. Not as difficult as the Cokie the Clown record, which he put out, his solo album, which is, Mike, if you haven't heard the Cokie the Clown record, you want to hear something like you've never heard before?
I'll listen to it.
Yeah, listen to that. It's not uncomfortable like that, but there are, you can tell that some of that vulnerability that he presented on that has leaked into this a little bit too. So
that's always good to see when like a solo record allows for things like that, because I know a lot of people just get more comfortable when they're doing something like on their own, and then all of a sudden it lets them like be more vulnerable with the people that they're close with in a band, right? And say like, hey guys, I want to bring more into it, like I did got to do with this project. And oftentimes it doesn't really compromise what the original band was going for and makes a better effort, I think.
I agree. All right, well,
do you think I'll like this record?
I don't know. I actually really want to I really want your take on it, because you know, for me, like my history with No Effects, I'm going long. Back like 26, 27 years I've been listening to this band. Like longer than probably most of the people in the chat have been alive, I've been listening to this band, you know? So
yeah.
Like I was 13 when I first, you know, heard them, got their records, and like they've pretty much been my favorite band ever since. I've always been there. I've seen them play live more than any other band. So to get an outside perspective on this from somebody that's like, you know, you say, oh, I'm like a new No Effects fan, I would be really interested to see like, okay, how does this stack up with, let's say, some of their, you know, classic releases from the mid and late 90s, if like it's as good or better based on your opinion? Because for me, so, I'm always flawed, because my favorite record will always be those old ones, just because, you know, that's the way it works.
So maybe that's what we'll do. What album should I be comparing this record to that you think is like the most classic No Effects record?
Well, that's also up for debate. The most classic No Effects record is Punk and Drublic, for sure. It's the most popular album, came out in 1994. I would argue So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes, which is 1997. That is another record you should listen to, maybe even listen to first. I would say those two for sure. I think they're the two most important No Effects albums. And then the other thing you need to listen to is The Decline, which is one song, 18-minute EP.
Okay.
You gotta listen to that thing. That's like, it's a punk rock, I don't know, it's just amazing. One song, 18 minutes. It's crazy. It's like a punk rock song with like movements. It's like a punk rock
symphony
almost. So like
when Green Day did on American Idiot with the 10-minute songs and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
You know, without The Decline, Green Day doesn't do that.
Yeah.
That's like, that was 100% where Green Day got, especially the political aspects of it, because people don't give No Effects enough credit for being a political band either, but they have definitely dove into that. And with The Decline, 100%, it's super political and stands up today too with some of the subject matter. So listen to The Decline, listen to So Long, Thanks for All the Shoes, and Punk and Drublic. Those are the three things I would say to start with. But this
I'm
new
gonna
record,
listen to the new record first.
Sure.
Just because I think that's the better way to go for it, because I am a new fan and I've liked these singles kind of more than anything else I've heard. So I'm going to listen to that and then kind of write down my thoughts, and then I'm going to listen to the old stuff and then come back and listen to the new stuff again and see if my thoughts match up.
I think it's a good
conversation.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to tackle any band with a big back catalog. And I know from experience, because I'm in one, like you know, it's tough to say, okay, where do I start with this band? And I think it's good to be like, okay, like I'll start with the new record. And then after that I go, okay, I'll find the classic record or whatever. I'll dive into what, you know, people say, because it can be intimidating.
Yeah. Especially with a band like NoFX too, because like they've been around so long, everybody has such different opinions too.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
All right. Well, we're going to get into our number one album after this little ad break, which I'm going to run right now. So here's the deal. If you if you want to subscribe to this Twitch channel, go ahead. That'd be great. And then you won't see this ad. During mm-hmm. the ad, Mike is going to pull up this new Green Day song. Here Comes the Shock, I think it's called.
You guys won't be able to hear it. I'm just going to play it on my computer. This is probably for your safety.
Okay, well, most people maybe heard. I'm sure a lot of people heard the song. I heard it yesterday. It's something. Yeah, Mike, sure. Pull it up, listen to it, and feel free to comment over it. We're gonna run a little ad right now. So yeah. All right. Thank you to anybody who subscribes, and then you won't see this.
I'm starting this right now. Here Comes the Shock.
All right.
Not bad off the get go.
Okay, you like it? All right. No, actually, you're right. The intro is pretty good.
Like, isn't there a sports team called The Shock?
Yeah, WNBA, I think.
No, I think it's like an actual sports team.
No, they're WNBA.
Women's basketball team from Detroit.
Yeah, they are.
That's what I was thinking of.
That's right. It's on the big tire off the 94 or whatever freeway it is in Michigan.
Yep. This wouldn't be a bad intro song for an album.
I know. I'm actually wondering if maybe it is.
Or if they're going for another piece like American Idiot, where the Shock is a character like St. Jimmy or something like that. I wouldn't mind that.
Right. It's just I don't know where
this
you're at.
This is better than anything off the last album. That is 100% a fact.
You might be right with that. I don't think you're wrong there. Weird though, okay. I guess you're probably at the second verse now, maybe, or second chorus.
Second chorus.
Okay, now get ready for this bridge. It's a fucking throwaway. If this had a cool bridge,
thing.
Yeah, it's just whatever. It's nothing doesn't go anywhere. You know, if they've got
the rhythm guitars going, but give me a solo or something right here. That's what I want.
I know. I don't get it. Just. Or I'm just thinking about other songs that Green Day has done in the past where it's okay, this song's all right. And then you're oh fuck, this bridge is sick. The bridge just unlocks a different vibe. They could have put it in this song and it actually might have
100%.
Saved it. But the fact that it doesn't go anywhere and all you get is a four word, chorus. Here comes mm-hmm. the shock. Here comes the shock. Repeat?
Yeah. Yeah, instrumentally, I really don't mind it. I think it's an improvement from the last record. Lyrically, it's pretty bad. Vocally, it's Billy Joel. I mean, he's got a great voice.
Do you think... I feel like he doesn't sing the same, though. I feel like something happened and he doesn't... I was listening to... So because I put on this song yesterday on Spotify... I got in my car and then instantly Nimrod was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh fuck, I love this record. And
it's a great record.
It is a great record. It might be my favorite Green Day record. I don't know if it's the best Green Day record, but it's probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sounds better, man. His vocals. I hate to say it. It's just better. I don't know if maybe
it's missing the sad almost is what it feels like to me.
It's kind of a little bit emotionless. I don't know if it's because the vocals are just doubled and there's a lot mm-hmm. of processing on them, and the old Green Day records were literally all right, he's just going to stand in front of a microphone in one take and here it is. Mm-hmm. But they're the rawness that I think really was important to feeling the energy of old Green Day. Yeah. It's gone. There's just no energy anymore.
100%.
Even that song, which should have energy, doesn't have it.
Yeah. Overall, I think very whelmed, again, using the word today, but
hey, whelmed
this song
is good in
as
this
a
case.
Single, it's I have heard this song once and I can forget about it. If this song is on an album, it depends very much on placement in the context of the album, because that song could really add something to an album and be oh, this is fun and theatrical, or it could make it absolutely horrible and just throw a wrench in whatever they're trying to do. Like,
yep.
We'll see what happens. Who knows? Green Day is an enigma.
That's right. They are an enigma. It's like, I feel like they didn't used to be, man. Like, and you know, like we kind of used to know what we were going to get every Green Day mm-hmm. album. And then American Idiot was like, oh shit, they stepped it up.
Yeah, and that was since, like the level up album and then everything from it.
Yeah, it's true. And then now it's like it's just the disappointment that people I think faced for so long has mm-hmm. now turned honestly like for some people kind of into anger.
Oh yeah, 100% has.
Yeah, and it's like I don't know. I'm fine with it, and again, like I'm all for bands that have put out, fuck, how many albums Green Day has put out? I mean, Green Day had put out two albums before I even heard them, and this was in 1994.
I think they're at like 12 or 13 now, yeah. If not more.
So, like, I'm okay with the band, you know, doing what they want to do in their quote-unquote twilight years. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. No one can take away Nimrod or Dookie from me, so that's fine. But I understand if you're looking for that fix, you're not getting it. Just not getting it.
14 records, full length records. I don't know about EPs or anything, but
yeah. Well, that's kind of weird. It's I'm actually surprised it's that many because they had
forget about Uno Dos Tres and how quickly
so that
those came out. Though.
That doesn't even count, or does that count in the 14?
Yeah, I counted that as three.
Okay,
they're full length. Albums.
Oh, okay, are they full length albums? I thought they were EPs too. Shows you how much I listen to them.
They're full length albums and they're bad.
Man, isn't that crazy? That they really went for it there too. Oh shit, they are full length albums. Why did I think they were EPs?
Probably because you turned them off by the time it got to EP length.
I forget which song it was. It was like track one on one of these records, and I remember thinking to myself, like, this is close. Oh, it was Know Your Enemy. That was it. Which actually isn't even that bad a song now.
21st Century Breakdown. Yeah, like, that song's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, that song isn't that bad considering what ended up happening after.
But
yeah. I feel like Green Day, to be honest, they kind of lost me after Nimrod. I didn't like Warning at all. I remember when Warning came out, I was actually kind of mad.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in the chat said it's their favorite album by far.
I really like Warning.
I don't know, man. I don't. It sounded like weird pirate music when it came out, and I hated mm-hmm. the album cover, which was just like it's just this like black photo. It looks like they've just photoshopped their band name over it. Like,
yeah,
basically that's what they did. And I'm like, that's the album cover, and that's the album. I always mm-hmm. hated it. But
American Idiot, it's definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, American Idiot came out, and that was the one that was like, okay, they're back, and they got huge again. They were playing like stadiums.
Yeah,
I guess they're playing stadiums again now, but
they are. It's weird. Yeah. Well, not right now, but
yeah, they're Know Your Enemy is the one maybe that you hear on the radio that you're like, okay, that's enough. That's enough of that one.
Somebody in the chat said 21 Guns, and I'm pretty sure it's that one too.
21 Guns is
where.
He's
rough. Just got that, like, it almost feels like he's trying to hit high notes, and he's like, look, guys, I have range, and it's like, do ya?
Well, I don't know why, yeah, like, that's a great example. If he's like, 21 guns, like, he goes to falsetto, it's like, dude, hit that full voice, you can. Why are you making it, like, mellow, and you're just, like, losing all the power off that? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I have to take this fucking hat off now, or at least turn it backwards. I was looking at my other computer screen, and then I came back to this one, and I was like, "Oh god,
we need to stop
talking
about Green Day." Like,
what's that?
We need to stop talking about Green Day. We always talk about Green Day for so long,
dude.
Whenever they get brought up,
dude, rants. All right. Well, we're gonna get into the number one record right now. I'm ready, Mike.
All right, number one album of the week. Everybody knows what it is. Everybody's excited for this record in some way or another. You're either really excited because you think this album is going to be your album of the year, or you're really excited because your favorite metalcore band has gone soft and you are just itching to complain about it.
Yeah.
It's the new album, For Those That Wish to Exist, by Architects.
Yeah.
This band's going to blow up. This record's going to be incredible.
I mean, they already blew up. Like, they're already massive, you know? Like, they're going to blow up even more. I mean, is it going to be, you know, the only band really in, let's call it metalcore for lack of a better genre term, that's bigger than Architects is probably their Countrymen, Bring Me the Horizon.
Maybe A Day to Remember, radio play-wise, listen-wise, stuff like that, but I think right now, as far as hype and size, is Architects and Bring Me.
Now, I love, like, first of all, I love Architects, and I love that they're going out on a limb a little bit, seemingly. Of course, we haven't heard the record yet. It's under lock and key. The singles, right. The single, we'll listen to it fucking Thursday, 11:59. We'll be, like, refreshing Spotify, probably.
I'll probably be going to bed and listening to it in the morning.
That's, yeah. Okay, well, you do you. Now, this record, though, you know, we've heard the singles. We can only assume that the rest of the record is going to have that kind of production, you know, that kind of a sound. You can kind of fill in the gaps a little bit. You know, you can assume what it's going to be. And I know you're on board. I'm on board. I don't know if all of these Architects fans that they've acquired through really great albums and great ethics, you know, that people care about, I don't know what their reaction will be.
I don't either. And I think this is something that Architects have kind of backed themselves into as well, because they used to change their sound quite a bit more in the early days on the first couple albums. And then they kind of found this, I forget what album it is, but right between like Daybreaker and Lost Forever, Lost Together, they really found this like metalcore sound that worked. And then they released Holy Hell and All Our Gods Have Abandoned Us, which are very, very similar records. And it almost kind of felt like we got four of the same record. But I am so excited that this band is changing their sound. I think it's, I don't even know how to describe what I want to say, right? Like, I think it's been way overdue for a change. And Architects is a band very similar to Bring Me the Horizon, where I think that they are doing their best work when they are changing and growing rather than kind of staying and recording the same stuff.
Yeah. You know, I know where you're coming from. I appreciate it too. Now, the parallel that I can think of from a couple years ago was when Parkway Drive sort of had a bit of a similar move, where they were seemingly at the top of the metalcore game. You know, they started to, you know, they were headlining festivals and everything. I don't think that they were as big as Architects is now.
No.
At the time that this happened. But then they put out a record where they did change it up a lot. You know, they added like clean singing, for example, and, you know, they changed it up. And I don't know in the end what the fan base thought, what the critics said.
I think it's, at first it was really kind of negative, and now it's really kind of positive.
Like, yeah.
I have a bunch of people who tell me, yo, that last Parkway Drive album is one of my favorites.
Well, you know, I mean, like, based on the numbers, I mean, the top two songs on their Spotify are from that record. And man, they have so many, like, their top six songs are all over 30 million Spotify plays.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nuts. Like, but you know, I think of, you know, Carry On and like those songs from like the early days as being, you know, a Deep Blue, like that record, those being the ones that like maybe would still be there, you know, for like, okay, this band is like, you know, they made classic metalcore songs and those are still going to be ones carrying them through, but I'm wrong and they're not. And it is their latest record, you know, and I think that that's going to be what's going to happen with Architects. I think that this record is going to come out. The purists will hate it. They know that. And they're going to unlock's a bad word. They're going to find a whole, you know, generation of people that are going to go, oh shit, this is awesome. They're going to find their old stuff. And, you know, next thing we know, Architects, they're going to be the Bring Me of the scene, I think.
Oh, I 100% think so. And so, like, looking at some stats and stuff like that, because I love this, you love this too, looking at Architects' Spotify page. So their biggest song right now, I guess most listens is Doomsday, which has about 34.5 million. We'll call it 35 million listens. And that album, the single came out like a year before that album, but that's the 2018 album.
Right.
Their single Animals has been out since the end of October and is already at 16 million listens.
Yeah, I see that right here. If we're looking at the same thing, I see Animals is obviously it's number one. But I see 15.4 million. Yeah.
Yeah. And like getting those kind of numbers in about 4 or 5 months, absolutely incredible for a band from our scene. I think that this sound change is really paying off for them. They're getting more radio play. I think a lot of the loud fans are very upset about this change. I think a lot of the more quiet fans are still really enjoying it. I think that the production on the singles and what I assume is going to be the album is the best production that Architects have had in their entire career, which is just great. Everything sounds so crisp. And I think the songwriting is still on the same level. It's just kind of wrapped in a different wrapping paper, right?
Yeah, I like that. No, I like that. And here's the thing, like, about, you know, the difference between a band like Architects and other bands in, let's just say, rock music that have, you know, said, okay, made a shift in sound. You're not going to get rid of who they are. You're not going to get rid of the ethics, the fact that they care about, you know, they just care about what they're singing and what they're doing. You can't take that out of them. And, you know, if they want to expand in terms of production and sound, great. But you're not going to take that away from them. And I think that that's going to be the difference probably between some of the other bands that have, you know, maybe put something out and you can kind of tell it's like, you know, quote unquote, selling out. This isn't going to feel like that because it's not.
And sometimes bands just get breakdowned out. Like you can only write so many cool breakdowns with your guitar tones that you're using and stuff like that. And like, honestly, I think this album, if there's only like 2 or 3 breakdowns, I'm going to be really, really happy when they come, because when every song has a breakdown, it's almost formulaic and like you're trying to get it. But when I'm listening to an album, like this is one of my favorite things that one of my favorite albums of all time does, Sundowning by Sleep Token, is like you don't need to be heavy all the time. And when you do decide to get heavy, it almost feels so much more meaningful that you have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, there's no question. I mean, we could ask Glass Crown to donate some breakdowns to Architects, maybe. They are the kings of breakdowns.
Breakdown for an old band.
Oh, fuck. That killed me. God. That's good, Mike. Oh, man. No, but in all seriousness, this is probably one of the most anticipated records of the entire year. We'll talk about it next week. Maybe in similar, probably not. We're probably not going to break it down like we did track by track on the last Bring Me.
No, we don't have time. Next week's a big week too. Sorry, everybody.
We will talk about it in depth. And I mean, hey, we're like over an hour here already talking about this, and we haven't even got to the honorable mention. So we got a big episode right now. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Last week was a short one, so
yeah,
it's cool.
Our content is not confined by song lengths or podcast lengths.
It's not. It's really not.
We're just here to talk to the people.
We are. So, okay. Well, anything else on Architects? I don't want to cut you off if you got more to say.
I'm excited. Go listen to it.
Yep.
If you decide you want to be a gatekeeper and say that, oh, new Architects isn't heavy, it's not metalcore, fine, go have fun with that. I think it's going to be a great record and I'm going to have fun listening to it.
I'm really excited too. Look, and we bring the quality and the quantity.
Boom. Always.
Look at that. That's
good
music. That's what you need. All right. Well, we probably have some honorable mentions.
We do.
Which I would love to hear about. So with the people.
So, you know, but when I can, I like to talk about power metal. There's a really cool band called Epica, E-P-I-C-A. Mm-hmm. They are really fun power metal. They're putting out a new album. I forget the name of it, but you should check it out.
Epica.
I assume
they're from Europe. Wait, I just pulled them up. I've seen this picture before.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Female fronted Formed by composer Mark Jansen. Okay. Yep. After leaving After Forever. Okay. Here we go. I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Power metal, female fronted.
They're absolutely awesome. I love them. Obviously not for everybody. Power metal does get very, very, very repetitive as the albums go on. But I think this band's great.
Top five markets for Epica, just while I'm on it. Number five, Guadalajara, Mexico. Number four, Istanbul, Turkey. Number three, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Number two, Santiago, Chile. Number one, Mexico City, Mexico. That's weird, isn't it?
A little bit. But I've kind of noticed that too. There are a lot of power metal fans in Latin and Southern America.
Yeah. Like,
we always joke about the like come to Brazil meme and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, I very, very seldom see it most of the time on like metalcore or post-rock, like scene music, like you see it. But like whenever I'm like scrolling and I see like, oh, Blind Guardian posted about a tour, every single comment is like, come to Brazil, come to Chile, come to Mexico,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like a lot of these European bands, they don't like to leave for some reason too. Like
I saw In Flames down there.
That would be
in
fun.
Fuck, was it back Chile when, or Columbia? I
back
can't
when
remember.
In Flames was still a power metal band, right?
This this was In Flames. Well, this would have been like 2010?
Yeah, close enough.
Around then, and no, they were like, well, they weren't really playing fast anymore. Like, they dropped any, like, sort of, like, I call it black, well, I can't really call it black metal, but like, you know, yeah. Swedish Gothenburg sound. They didn't really have that anymore. But they were still playing those songs.
Yeah, they're not doing that anymore. Now they're touring with All That Remains and having fun.
Well, watching them play to like 2,000 South Americans, I was lucky I had my little fucking privileged box space to stand in, or I would have been absolutely crushed because it was fucked. Like, people down there, like, you think shows in San Antonio, Texas are crazy? Go to South America, you'll die.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Oh, man. Okay, let's move on. Epica, yeah, nice pick.
Yeah, so the rest are just singles now.
Okay.
Always, we talk about this band a lot on the show, mainly because I love them whenever they put out a single. We've got a new single from Half Hearted. I love these guys.
Yeah.
They don't know how to not put out bangers. They're a lot of fun. We've got a new single from Friend of the Pod, Brand of Sacrifice, the last
single before
this album comes out next week. I am so excited for this album. This single is going to rip your face off. I'm sure of it.
What a singer this guy is. Holy shit.
Oh, he's a monster. Like,
unreal.
We're going to talk about this album next week, and I'm very excited because I think this is going to be one of the heaviest releases of the year.
Awesome.
So going back to punk, because I do like some punk bands. Coming out of Arizona, there's going to be a new single from Dollskin, which is a really cool band. I absolutely love them. I love the vibe they give off. They're all really cool people. I've talked to some of them while I was out in California at Warped Tour.
Cool. Yeah, Dollskin.
Very nice.
Yeah, Dollskin, all female band.
Not anymore, but yes.
They got a dude?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think transitioning is the proper term, but
oh, cool. Oh, that's awesome. I had no idea. I didn't mean to be rude if I was.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's great.
Yeah, I think I saw it like maybe a month and a half ago or something like that. So
no, that's terrific. I've always been a big fan of them. I think it was Warped Tour. I want to say maybe it was 2017 or 2015.
Yeah, that was, I think they were playing like the Ernie Ball stage or something right around that time.
Yeah, they were. And I think they got bumped up to one of the bigger stages. I think this is when I saw them play, and I'd seen them around. I'd seen their name, and I walked by and they were playing a Fugazi cover.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is sick. Like that's so cool. They're doing that. And after that, I became like a bit, like, kind of obsessed with them, and I checked out all their records, and I guess I got signed to Hopeless, and it's really good, and I love to see that they have a new song coming out, and can't wait.
A lot of fun. I'm real excited. Another favorite band of mine, and this is awesome because I get to talk about a feature too. We have a new song from Shrezzers.
Oh, man. Here we go.
I love Shrezzers. If you are tired of hearing me talk about Shrezzers, I'm sorry. Go listen to Shrezzers. They're absolutely incredible. Noodly guitar riffs, saxophone, amazing vocalists, and they're featuring an amazing vocalist. Lucas Mann from Veil of Maya is on this track. Is he screaming? I don't know. Is he clean singing? I don't know.
Who knows?
Here for it because he's a great artist too. So this is going to be my song of the week because Shrezzers is just too good. It's unstoppable. Sorry, Architects, but...
Well, yeah, is this band from somewhere crazy too?
Russia.
That's right. They're from Russia. They're the Russian band. So yeah, and they have the Pornhub ripoff as their logo.
Yeah,
so,
they used to be Shredding Brazzers, and they
Brazzers, not Pornhub, Brazzers. Right. Sorry, yeah. I mix up my porn sites. Not too well versed in the porn genre myself, but it's literally this band is insane, and I know you love them, Mike. Like, and let's get into it.
They're so good, and it's one of those bands where like I listen to them and I'm like, nobody should be allowed to be this good this consistently. Like, should be illegal. Like, oh, it's so good.
There it is, the song of the week, new one from Shrezzers. I love it.
Then two more. I've got a new project. If you're a fan of this show, you've probably checked out Svalbard on my recommendation.
Yes.
My number three last
year.
They
were in your top 10.
Yeah, my number three.
Yeah.
Absolutely love them. So Serena has started a new solo black metal project and has released the first single. I forget the name of the single, but the band is called Noctule. It's Noctule. Or maybe it's Noctule. I don't know. It's Nocturnal Yule. I don't know. It's cool. The entire band is actually like inspired and based around Skyrim, which is super cool. Like the Elder Scrolls.
So,
I think that's super fun. Because it doesn't sound like video game inspired music too. Like, normally when I think video game inspired music, I almost think like some stuff Alestorm does and some stuff like Dragon Force does and like One Morning Left and bands like that. It doesn't sound anything like that. This is straight up black metal. And if you didn't know it was inspired by Skyrim, you wouldn't know listening to it. It's
cool.
A great song though. I think it's awesome. Don't listen to the YouTube version because for some odd reason, YouTube really messed up the mix on it. Just listen to it on Spotify.
Oh yeah.
Because it sounds a lot better there.
That happens a lot on YouTube, I find.
Yeah. And it's weird because like, the guitars and everything, like instrumentally it sounds fine, but the vocals feel like muddled on the YouTube. But then when you listen to it on Spotify, it's completely fine. So
yeah, I don't know. It happens. It's like weird. I think it's a weird thing with like the bitrate and the video, like, cause you have to put in, you know, you have to put
sacrifices must be made for the music.
I don't really understand all the technical stuff on that side, but yeah. Okay. You got one more, right?
Yeah, one more. And then I'm not 100% sure if this is coming out. They've been teasing it, but they haven't like been saying an actual date, and it's been ramping up. But I'm pretty sure there's a new Waterpark single on Friday. If you know me, you know that I love Waterparks, and I think that this band is the future of pop punk, and they're doing everything right in keeping it poppy, keeping it punky, and keeping it quirky, which I think is really important. Like, keeping pop punk lighthearted is so cool.
I really like them, too. I'll be honest, man. At first, like I think the first time I heard of this band, I saw a promo poster for one of their albums at Warped Tour.
Yep.
You know, because you know, like if you go, if anyone's been to Warped Tour, they'll like labels will go around in the morning and they'll stick up like, hey, check out this album out soon, and they'll just like they'll slap them all over like on porta potties and you know wherever they can. So they were this Waterparks one was there, and it was like. It was like an ad for the record, but there was something written on it that was like,
yeah, it was just like, all words. I remember what you're.
Yeah. And it was like, thinking. It was, I don't know it verbatim, but it was like the kind of thing like, hey, yeah, buy my record. So my parents like think I'm like not wasting my life.
And we can buy a van and stuff
and we
like
can
that.
Buy. Yeah. And like
here,
we can
I
make.
I found it.
Oh, you found it?
Yep.
Can you share your screen? Do you know how to do that?
No, I don't.
If you go to the bottom of the page where it says share.
All right, give me a sec because I'm waiting for this to load too.
No problem. Yeah, just go to the bottom where it says share, and then you can share screen, and then you can share from. Are you using Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can share your browser and screen, but I'll finish. Oh, you'll pull it up, but just for. Oh yeah, I see you got it here. Yeah, here Sweet. We go. I can add it in.
Cool. So I've got to pull up whenever you're ready.
Yeah, okay, here, yeah. So this is what this really made me angry. Here we go. I'll read it out loud because this is going to be on the podcast too, I guess. Water Parks, this is in big letters at the top, is the only band that matters. Buy our album so we can get a cool platinum record to hang on my wall so I can earn my dad's respect. Also, so Jeff can get a car with windows that roll up. Thanks. This is written like a, you know, thanks. And then hyphen Austin Knight. And at the bottom, Water Parks Double Dare. Is what it says. So, go back to that. It has another. Oh, you already closed it.
Oh, I stopped.
It has a thing that says, "I didn't think the label was going to actually use this," like a disclaimer, yeah. Because I saw that, posted mm-hmm. it on my Instagram story, and was like, basically, like, I don't know. I said something
Who
super condescending, and
are?
I made fun of the spelling of his name. fucking who spells Austin like that, right? I was like a total asshole about it because, you know, obviously it's super pretentious, but that was before I entered the understanding and met yes. Austin and the whole world of Water Parks, which is, I get it. Like
Water Parks is a cult.
Well, yeah, that's I'll get into that in a second, but like just the band itself, Austin is, first of all, he's really smart. He's well spoken. Mm-hmm. He's funny as fuck. He is not an idiot, and he's super talented. So it's like, you know, he puts this stuff out super sarcastically and super like kind of ironically, and he knows it's ridiculous. The mm-hmm. problem is some of their fans don't.
Yeah, and like he keeps getting away with it too. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna pull this up, but if you like look up Spencer's Water Parks shirt, because they got like Spencer's called them, is like, hey, we want to put a Water Parks shirt in our store, and Austin literally just photoshopped this thing that has like the band members, and then just, if you remember like the old Microsoft Word art and stuff like that, and it literally just says like cat piss and like Water Parks band and like love me dad, and like they've got like a bong photoshopped on it and like all this stuff like that. And it's literally the most ridiculous shirt I've ever seen. And honestly, I'm just going to look it up now because it needs to be talked about.
Throw it up. Yeah, like, no, honestly, I just, at first, I didn't get this band. I really, it was one of those things, like, I don't do shit like that. Like, you know me, I got hot takes. I'll rant about stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't really go on like, Twitter or Instagram and just start, like, ripping people. But I, like, that pissed me off one morning on Warped Tour when I was probably super burnt out on tour, and I called him out, and there was never any blowback. I don't even know if anyone ever saw it. Mm-hmm. But like, I see that, Mike, I'll throw it up in a second. Yep. And, but yeah, like I just didn't get it yet. And now I get it. God is dead. 420. Oh, that's so good.
Like, it is so good. Like, they're making fun of Spencer's with the shirt, and Spencer's like actually sold it. It's sold out.
Of course.
If anybody has one of these in a medium, I didn't see it when it went up, and I still want one. So like, hit me up in the DMs and I'll buy it from you. But like,
it's so fucking good.
It's so them. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, 100%. I am into this every time. And I'm happy that this exists, because the music at the end of the day is quality too. That's the crazy thing.
Oh yeah. Like, it's just banger after banger, and like another band that can't fail right now. And they're on their like third release, or this is going to be their fourth release now, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and or like full length at least, and just absolutely unstoppable.
100%.
Good boys.
100%. All right. Well, what else?
I got nothing else.
We did it. That's the show.
Boom.
Boom. Whoop.
Follow us on social media.
Whoop. There it is. Whoop. There it is. We could do that.
I don't know how to actually throw a basketball.
Tag team back in. No, I don't think it's hoop there. I think it's whoop. I don't think it's a basketball.
I think it is
reference.
Whoop.
It's whoop.
You're right.
Party people! Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC. noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoices. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, that is Hitman. All you folks, what it's all about. Now it's time for to get on the mic and make this mother party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school, cause I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you wanna get down, I'ma show you the way. Boom, there it is. Let me hear you say, boom.